Let's talk about your health. Did you know one of the leading reasons skin begins to sag or form wrinkles isn't necessarily because of old age, but because our bodies are missing out on essential collagen? You see, we produce 10% less collagen every decade once we hit 30, and that's a major reason behind those pesky wrinkles. Adding just a little collagen to your diet can have noticeable effects for your skin and youthfulness. Preferably, the sooner the better. That's why myself, along with tens of thousands of people, have turned to this cutting-edge new substance to help reduce visible lines of aging. It uses the top five most researched types of collagen, which is essential for skin health to support skin elasticity and skin hydration. These five collagen types are difficult to find on their own, but they're all included in every scoop. Just mix the serving with your favorite morning drink to give your skin the building blocks it needs to reignite a youthful glow. The best part I love is you get 53% off the rest of the month or until they sell out, whichever comes first. Plus, you'll also receive several additional gifts valued at over $500 free with every order for a limited time, including free VIP live health and fitness coaching for life, a free new ebook titled The 14 Foods for Amazing Skin, a 60-day satisfaction guarantee, and free shipping. Get yours now by going to healthwithx22.com. That is healthwithx22.com, or click the link in the description. You won't regret it. Hi, and welcome to the X22 Report Spotlight. Today, we have two returning guests. We have Clay Clark. You can find all his work on timetofreeamerica.com. That's where he has his rallies. You can go and buy tickets there. We also have General Flynn. You can go to his site, is generalflynn.com. And I am very happy to have both of them on the X22 Report Spotlight. Clay, General Flynn, welcome to the Spotlight. And I guess we'll start with you, Clay. Welcome to the Spotlight.
I really do appreciate you allowing us to be here with you today, Dave.
Thank you. And I'm very happy to have you on, and thank you for taking the time out here. And General Flynn, thank you for appearing on the Spotlight once again. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dave, and I appreciate all you're doing as well with your audience and trying to keep hope alive, right?
Yeah, that's what it's all about, just trying to keep hope alive and giving the people the information they need. And since we're talking about information, I mean, from the very, very beginning, the fake news, the D's, they all pretended like nothing was going on at the border. And it reminds me almost of like the 2020 riots, when they pretended it was a myth. Nothing was happening. It was mostly peaceful. And they keep telling us that the borders are secure. Nothing's going on down there. And the fake news really doesn't report on it that much. Fox News does a little bit, but people are now seeing through social media and other avenues that we have a major, major problem at the border. What is your take on what is going on at the border, General Flynn?
You want to jump in? I'm going to start.
Yeah. What do you think is happening at the border, General Flynn?
Yeah. So, okay. So Dave, appreciate it again. Well, let me kind of give you a 60,000 foot level, and then I'll walk you down into some of the reasons why I believe this. You know, the first thing is that I do think that the border now is no longer a border. I think it's a war zone. I actually think it's a combat zone because we're talking about the loss of life. We're talking about the infiltration of people from known terrorist states. We're talking about the infiltration of criminals. We're talking about the infiltration of known terrorists that have some of whom have been captured. And we're talking about the infiltration of weapon systems that are now resulting in the death or maiming of hundreds of thousands of Americans. And the principal weapon system, you know, we call them drugs, but it's actually in the specific drug called fentanyl, which we are now upwards of about 120,000 in this past year alone that have been killed in action. So, you know, wars are costly, and political wars, which I think this is a component of down there at the border. And it's not just affecting the border. We keep saying the border. This is a war. America is at war, and we have people inside of our own country that are enabling it. And of course, the war is this mass illegal movement of millions and millions of people. We don't even know the real numbers. I mean, you know, they'll throw out numbers like in the last 2 years alone, numbers that range from low end of 2.5 million, high end could be as high as 10 million. So this is a political component of this whole notion of build back better. which is, you know, I'll use this on your show. It's Build Back Better bullshit, because their intent is to build it back better in their image, but you have to destroy everything first. So, you know, when a nation is at war, which our nation is at war, and the drug cartels down in Mexico primarily, but there's drug cartels throughout the land, throughout the world, but specifically the drug cartels in Mexico are enabled by the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, and that's this incursion of this weapon system known as fentanyl. And there are other weapon systems that are being brought into this country and other in the likes of other drugs. This is no longer capable of being handled by what our country used to have, and we used to call was the drug czar, right? The drug czar, or the drug enforcement agency, or even the law enforcement. I mean, our CBP are so, our border patrol, right, are so overwhelmed. We now need serious people to seriously consider using the U.S. military to be down on our border, and we ought to designate these drug cartels as state sponsors of terrorism, or we designate them as terrorist organizations, and we can start treating them the way that they need to be treated. You know, there's no instance of a country having benefited from prolonged war. Okay, now let's just take the last two decades plus, right? The last 20 years of war in Central Asia and the Middle East, right? Primarily and specifically Afghanistan and Iraq, but those wars were taking place from all of Central Asia, all the Central Asian republics, you know, to include Afghanistan and Pakistan, and then all of Southwest Asia, primarily Iraq, but, you know, you're talking Syria, Lebanon, Israel, Iran, Yemen, Oman, UAE, Kuwait, even parts of West Africa, East Africa, but clearly even bled into North and West Africa, places like Nigeria with Boko Haram and some of these other activities that we got ourselves in for 20 years. And now we've got another prolonged war that we are involved in that started under the Obama administration in February of 2014. I can give you the specific date, right after the Sochi Olympics, the Winter Olympics in Sochi. That particular invasion started then because Obama, if everybody remembers his whisper to Medvedev, said, "When I get back into power, I'll be able to deal with Vlad in a lot more ways." And everybody can remember that very famous thing. Well, now you transpose what I just described in these prolonged wars that we are involved in, you know, and we still have this thing going on in Eastern Europe with Ukraine, and you transpose all of that to what's happening right here at home. Okay. And we haven't even gotten into the collapse of our economy, the rise of digital currencies, the BRICS nations, which we should talk about, and this global alliance that is forming against us. But let's just take the war that's going on, you know, essentially physically at our southern flank, right? The southern flank, to use a military, terminology, our southern flank. And we have this incursion of a mass force in we call them illegals. We try to give them all these soft names. This is a intentional destruction of our country by allowing a mass migration illegally into our country, along with all of these other weapon systems that are killing American citizens, killing law enforcement who are directly involved in these things, you know. And there is a sort of a North America alliance that was agreed to by Obregon from Mexico, Biden from the United States, and Trudeau, who's a clear communist, hands down communist, up in Canada back in January, where they decided to have this open society. I mean, this is really what this comes down to. What this agreement comes down to, Dave, and I think that your listeners need to, you know, you need to post that particular order, if you will, that policy agreement that they came to. And I think it was January of 2023 here, so not too many months ago. So all that said, we're involved in a war right now on the border. And specifically, when we think about places like the Darien Pass, okay, which is down between, it's the pass between South America and the Central America Isthmus, and it leads right into Panama, one of the most strategic, geostrategic places on the planet for your audience is the Panama Canal, which the United States of America built. And under the Obama administration, they basically turned it over. They turned it over to the Panamanian government, but they really turned it over to the Chinese government. And there's two principal locks down there. One of the key locks is the Gatun locks. And I'm talking about the Panama Canal, as part of this whole war that we are involved in, because what has been happening is we've seen a rise, particularly over this past year, but certainly over the past 3 to 6 months, a rise in Chinese military age men being brought into South America and then coming up in through the Central American Isthmus there. But a lot of them are staying right there in the Panama Canal zone. That matters a lot. That matters a lot because now that cuts down the transit for Chinese military as well as Chinese trade, ocean vessels to be able to transit from the Pacific to the Atlantic and move and cut their payments down, cut their timelines down. I mean, just overnight. So instead of traveling through the Arctic or traveling around the Cape of Good Hope, they can cut right through the Panama Canal. And if they own the Panama Canal, then they control that. They control the United States of America's ability to be able to move from one coast to another rapidly without having to, go all the way around the Arctic. And I'm serious about this, going around the Arctic Ocean or having to pay some sort of fee to be able to go through something that we built, right? I mean, that matters. So now you take it up the Central America nations, and you have this grouping of nations. We're looking at 150 to 160 nations now that are represented by these illegals that are coming into our country. And when they come in, and I'll shut up here after making this comment, the average person in this country who retires after working their rear ends off at the age of 65, the average amount of money that they get on a monthly basis through something called Social Security is about $1,400. What we learned here recently, about maybe 2 months ago on one of these Tucker episodes on X, was that they are now receiving, these illegals are receiving upwards of $2,200 a month. So if I work my rear end off my entire life, which I did, and I wait till 65 to take Social Security, which I've paid into, the average amount of Social Security is going to be $1,400. Somebody who decides to cut across the border, sneak into the United States of America, is going to get almost twice that on a monthly basis. And they're going to be given, room and board in some of the nicest hotels in some of the largest cities in America. And they're going to be taken care of for life. I mean, any nation that gets involved in a prolonged war will find itself, doomed. And we now are led by people that are, I believe, that are purposely trying to destroy this country. And the only thing that I can tell people is that, look, wake up. And Clay and I have been talking about this for years. We have this great Reawaken America event coming up, which is a movement. It's not just an event, where we cheerlead everybody and we, we go rah, rah. This is a movement in this country. There is no other movement in this country like it. There's no other Reawaken America movement in this country like it. There's other people that go out here and they talk here and they have this freedom event there. This is now, I think, 22 or 23 cities. We're going to not only be in Miami again here in another week and a half, but we're going to be going back out to California, and then we're going to get back on the road again, as long as Clay, my buddy Clay, doesn't have to take too much DayQuil or NyQuil this week, right? So because I know he's been hurting, right? And anyway, I'm on my soapbox here, Dave, and I appreciate it. But we are facing a time, and I'm so beyond the nonsense stage of my life. All of the bullshit that we hear on the podcast about Mike Flynn or this or that, Yeah, I don't, it doesn't even bother me anymore. It bothers me, and it actually never did, because I served this country for almost 3.5 decades. Five of those years were in combat, direct combat operations with some of the most lethal forces that we have. And then I got persecuted for, and still get persecuted. You can't go a day and not find a newspaper article that says something about General Flynn or doing this or was going to be subpoenaed or they should have indicted him or he's guilty or he's treason or trade. I mean, you can't go a day without seeing that. You know what? I'm at that point in my life where I'm like, look, folks, we have a real enemy. We have a real enemy. And anybody that takes a shot at me, as far as I'm concerned, I look at them and I say, I wonder whose side they're really working for. I wonder if somebody is paying them to do that. And I know for a fact, Dave, that some of these people that listen to your show, that will listen to this show, they are getting paid by people who are just pure evil pieces of you know what. And I'm tired of it. And I'm letting you know, because I know that there are people out there that follow what you're doing and follow what we're doing in this country. And hey, I'm glad that I'm alive. I'm glad that I'm standing up. I'm glad that I have the ability to be able to stand up and not, be one of the soldiers that I have had the privilege of serving with that never will see the light of day again. So we're in a tough spot. Thank God we have, I don't know what to think about Elon Musk sometimes, but if Elon Musk didn't buy Twitter, we wouldn't be where we were with a lot of things. I follow and I'm a great friend with Tucker Carlson, and I follow a lot of what Tucker has done. His latest thing with Victor Davis Hanson, everybody should go. I think it's episode number 27 or whatever. Everybody needs to go and watch that, because that particular episode from one of the best historians that we have in this country lays out rhyme and verse what is happening. And if anybody thinks for a second that these people are going to wake up tomorrow morning and go, you know what, we screwed the American people too much, we're going to back up and we're going to now give them a break, you're smoking something. So anyway, that's enough for me.
Well, General, let me just say this. I appreciate everything that you've done for this country, and thank you for your service and everything that you've been doing. Well, I've been to a couple of Time to Free America rallies there, and I mean, all I see is American spirit. That's all I see. I want to say personally, I appreciate everything that you're doing, and I want to say thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. Clay, do you want to say anything? Or I know you're under the weather here.
Oh, I'm good. I'll just say this. One of the things, Dave, that I appreciate about your program is you were one of the first shows, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, to be kicked off of YouTube. When were you kicked off of YouTube, Dave?
Well, actually, I was originally kicked off in 2014 during a weekend. And then in 2020, I was completely taken off.
Okay, so I'm saying 2014. I mean, that's pretty early to the party of censorship. So I just want people to, I have three big ideas I want to make sure everyone's aware of right now, is Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. And this is not a shameless gold commercial, Dave, for your gold sponsor, but this is going to result in probably some gold sales. Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, they are all teaming up together right now to roll out a new currency that is gold-backed. So for the last 16 years, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, they've been hoarding the earth's gold in preparation to introduce a new gold-backed programmable central bank digital currency. That is their plan. And so right now you're seeing de-dollarization occur at scale. And President Trump the other day, I'm going to pull up this clip real quick. President Trump the other day, he just said this out loud. During an interview, I believe it was on Newsmax, and I think it blew the minds of certain people, because President Trump understands that de-dollarization is in fact happening, folks. So listen, this is President Trump discussing de-dollarization.
Of our currency, I'm talking about our currency being used throughout the world.
You want the dollar to remain the world's reserve currency.
Well, I think it's bigger than losing any war. I think if it doesn't. Look, we are already reverting to third world status in many ways. You look at our airports, you look at our terminals, you look at our filthy roads and broken roads and everything else. We're like a third world country. We have something that's very powerful, and that's our dollar all over. But you take a look at what's happening to it now with other countries not using it. And, you know, China wants to replace it with the yuan. And it was unthinkable with us. Unthinkable. Would never have happened. Now people are thinking about it. That could happen.
BRICS nations have the oil. They have their natural resources. They don't have to put up with it. And they're not going to put up with it. And remember, two-thirds of those hombres are not buddies, not friends of this constitutional republic we have.
So, again, you're seeing de-dollarization is happening at scale. And, again, they're trying to move us away from a situation where the U.S. dollar is the world's reserve currency. Second thing I want to communicate is you're seeing this mass censorship. You know, in Canada right now, if you are an independent podcaster, Trudeau is wanting you to register your podcast with the government, and then they can censor you if they don't agree with the narrative there. So you're seeing de-dollarization happening. You're seeing mass censorship happening. And then the whole goal is what's called depopulation. And for anybody out there that hasn't got really deep into the depopulation game they have, Jane Goodall is the newest spokesperson that they're bringing out there. They're bringing her out there to speak often at the World Economic Forum. And Jane Goodall is you know, she's 80 years old, and she's speaking at the World Economic Forum, Dave. And she comes across like a, you know, like someone's grandmother, like a, I don't know, like a nice person. But listen to what she said. Now, again, she's listed as the agenda planner for the World Economic Forum. So her title is the agenda planner for the World Economic Forum. And folks, I'm going to play this for you. And if you're not sipping on DayQuil, you're going to feel like you have been sipping on DayQuil as you listen to this, because what she says is crazy.
We cannot hide away from human population growth because, you know, it underlies so many of the other problems. All these things we talk about wouldn't be a problem if there was the size of population that there was 500 years ago.
My name is Jane Goodall. My age is 80. My job is giving people hope. If I just have this magic power, I would like to, without causing any pain or suffering, reduce the number of people on the planet.
She just said she wants to reduce the number of people on the planet, Super Dave. So yeah. I just want to communicate this idea that de-dollarization is happening. Their goal is depopulation. That is their agenda, Dave. And I just don't think most people recognize the level of evil that these people have planned for us.
Yeah, I agree.
There's no giving people hope. She just said,
yeah.
I'm no giving people hope, yet I want to depopulate the planet. And these people are not talking about small numbers here. First of all, depopulation is like, you know, what does that mean? Is that extermination? Is that kind of like what Adolf Hitler did to 20 million people? I mean, Joe Stalin did to 60 million. Pol Pot did to, I don't know, 5, 10 million. Mao Zedong did to another 20 to 40, maybe 60 million people. I mean, these are the types of people that we're talking about. So Jane Goodall is now the spokesperson for this world globalist alliance that's formed against the United States of America. And she's going to tell us that she's known for giving out, you know, gobs of hope. And she's talking about depopulating the planet. These people want to take us from like 7 billion down to like 1 billion. I mean, I don't see hope in that.
Do you think the World Economic Forum is leading the invasion at the border? I doubt if it's Joe Biden's plan. So it has to be someone above him, someone that is, you know, directing him. Let's talk about your health. Did you know one of the leading reasons skin begins to sag or form wrinkles isn't necessarily because of old age, but because our bodies are missing out on essential collagen? You see, we produce 10% less collagen every decade once we hit 30, and that's a major reason behind those pesky wrinkles. Adding just a little collagen to your diet can have noticeable effects for your skin and youthfulness, preferably the sooner the better. That's why myself, along with tens of thousands of people, have turned to this cutting-edge new substance to help reduce visible lines of aging. It uses the top 5 most researched types of collagen, which is essential for skin health, to support skin elasticity and skin hydration. These 5 collagen types are difficult to find on their own, but they're all included in every scoop. Just mix a serving with your favorite morning drink to give your skin the building blocks it needs to reignite a youthful glow. The best part I love is you get 53% off the rest of the month or until they sell out, whichever comes first. Plus, you'll also receive several additional gifts valued at over $500 free with every order for a limited time, including free VIP live health and fitness coaching for life, a free new ebook titled The 14 Foods for Amazing Skin, a 60-day satisfaction guarantee, and free shipping. Get yours now by going to healthwithx22.com. That is healthwithx22.com, or click the link in the description. You won't regret it. To open the borders up, do you think the World Economic Forum has a part in that?
Well, So I think the big answer is yes. And you can also look in places like Europe at the mass migration, illegal migration for the most part, although many of the countries in Europe have been for years accepting just millions of people coming out of Africa, coming out of Asia, and coming into Europe. And you're starting to see the fabric of Europe, you know, completely break apart. And now countries are starting to react to that. To what they basically did was they opened up the doors thinking that, you know, let's all love each other. And they realized that none of these people are assimilating. So that's been going on in Europe for a long, long time, probably the better part of well over a decade or longer. And I'm talking about millions of people coming into Europe. So what they have experienced there and what they allowed there and enabled there, and the World Economic Forum has these people all over these administrations in these different countries. We know Klaus Schwab talked about how he had the Young Leaders Forum, and he's got people all over Canada. He's got people in government in Canada. He's got people in our own government here. He's got people from Mexico and from many parts of Central and South America. So, yeah, I mean, there is a means by which these people want to move people around the world to basically crush these types of countries that are still standing up to them. So in this country, we're the last bastion of freedom on the planet right now. You know, I don't know. I mean, you can think of another. Maybe there's an island out there in the South Pacific, or maybe there's an island, you know, small island in the Caribbean somewhere that still nobody's discovered. But we're it. The United States of America is it. Mm-hmm. We still have at least, you know, let's just say 320 legal U.S. citizens, probably the better part of two-thirds, maybe 80% still love this country, but we don't have control over those levers of power. And that's why, you know, there's so many people that still feel in this country like we don't have a fairly duly elected person sitting in the White House, because they're basically, you know, is this what we voted for? Would 81 million people vote for something that is just so destructive? And I don't think the answer is yes. I think the answer is absolutely not. And I don't think that it was a fair election. You know, I still have the First Amendment right within the First Amendment is the freedom of speech, you know, that doesn't, it, you know, the our Homeland Security and our administration would say, well, that's hate speech. You're going to be tagged as a domestic terrorist. I mean, this is how crazy of a time that we live in. So who inside of our country is allowing it? Because it's not just Mayorkas, mm-hmm. you know, who's our current Secretary of Homeland Security. It's this whole fabric of people, and it's a small group. It's a relatively small group. Is Barack Obama still somewhere to be found? Yeah, he lives in Washington, D.C. The only president in our history that didn't leave Washington, D.C. after being the president. The only other exception is one other president who had a stroke, and he couldn't physically leave, and he only stayed for, I think, another 6 months. So Obama is the only one in history that didn't leave. And now we know why, because of where we stand today, where this current administration is, because there's no way in the world that this guy, Biden, you know, maybe he wakes up after a little rest and he has his faculties, but then he goes about his day and he's like any other, you know, he's like any other person. And I've had him in my own family, elderly people who get to a place in their lives where they don't have all of their faculties, definitely all their mental faculties anymore. They can't hold themselves when it comes time to go into the bathroom. I mean, they can't judge where they're at. They forget things and they wander around. We've seen all of those indicators from the guy that's occupying the White House right now. And we're going to be led to believe that this guy's in charge. I mean, I just laid out in the first half hour of your show all the problems that we're facing just in terms of warfare. I have no trust and confidence in the president of the United States. And that's sad for me to say. Very sad for me to say. If we actually had a vital national security interest that was at risk, where we might end up having to go to war with a China or a Russia on a real physical level. We're not ready to do that. And we're definitely not ready with the right level of leadership that we have running operations right now out of the White House. We just don't. So, yeah, is it intentional? Is the answer, the big answer, yes, it is. This is intentional. Otherwise, why would they be doing this? Why would they be allowing this destruction of the fabric of our society, our healthcare system, our education system, our ability to police, the drugs on the street, you know, the rising crime? I mean, every indicator that surrounds bringing in more illegals, and then the economic cost that it has to our country to be able to pay for all this stuff, right? We are systematically and intentionally destroying our country by allowing this to continue on. And I can't sit here and go that these people are incompetent and they don't know what they're doing. Oh, no, they're competent, they're smart, and they know exactly what they're doing.
So do you think the military is watching this whole thing play? I mean, are they worried that all these people that are coming
but
in?
What do you think? I mean, so stop,
okay.
Dave, stop.
Okay.
This is where I've had disagreements with things that I've heard you say and many others, because people go, oh, the military. What do you think the military, if you don't understand what the military does in our country, which abides by the Constitution, and
yes,
the Constitution is our military is run by the people who are duly elected. Okay. So if you want our military to act in a different way, then you need to go to another country. Right. And the people that I've heard, you know, talk about this kind of stuff, they're foolish. They're foolish. They're thinking foolishly. This is not what our country is designed to have in terms of our military. Our military follows the orders of those who are elected over them. Okay. That's how we've been able to stay as a nation, the way we've been able to stay. So when people go, well, the military, what should the military? Hey, the military should follow legal, moral, and ethical orders that they're given. If you find generals and admirals in the military that say, Mr. President, I can't follow this order anymore, even though it's legal, you know, even though it's maybe ethical, you know, my moral being, I just can't follow. It's like the forced critical race theory training that's being forced all the way down the necks of every single private in the military, or the idea that we're going to continue to have pay for abortions if you join the military, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that kind of stuff. That's a moral dilemma. And a general or an admiral or any officer can say, I'm going to resign my commission and I'm going to, you know, throw my stars down on the table and I'm going to walk away because I can't serve in a military that does it. But that's it. If our military starts to act in any other way, we got problems. We then do become a third world nation, well, like a lot of these banana republics that throw out, you know, presidents and prime ministers and kings every 6 months.
Well, let me just, I understand what you're saying, but if there's an invasion at the border, let's just change it up. Let's say all of a sudden we had China. They were rolling in with tanks on the border. They were rolling in with military. I mean, would the military not react to that in some way, somehow?
The military will only do what it's ordered to do by duly elected people. That's why the president of the United States is elected by the people in this country, not only as the president of the United States, but the commander in chief. So he's elected and he's given the judgment by the majority of people in this country, like we've always had, you know, for the most part through our elections. But no, the military does not act on its own. That's a major, major falsehood. And we've got to get people, anybody that tells you, well, the military ought to do something, all these dummies that say, oh, the military's in charge. The military only does what it is ordered to do by elected, by basically the president of the United States, the commander in chief. So if there were hordes of tanks, you know, lining up down in the docks of Panama, and they were going to come up from, you know, we're talking China, or if the Russians started to attack across the plains of Europe, which is where we stood for the better part of 40 years, our elected official, primarily the president of the United States, can order forces to go and do something, can order our military to go do something. We don't want our military doing anything on their own, Dave, okay?
No.
That's not the United States of America. That's not based on our Constitution. That's more of the third world or the fourth world.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that. We don't want the military just going off and doing whatever they want to do. I completely agree with that. Clay, do you want to add in anything?
Well, I just wanted to, you know, one of the things that you know, Dave, that I think you've done a phenomenal job of presenting over the years is you've talked about the de-dollarization and most general, would you agree? I mean, the mainstream media, they don't talk about it at all. I mean, you're not, if you watch news
at all, they don't touch it. They don't touch it.
You watch Newsmax, you watch Fox, you watch ABC, CBS, NBC. You're not going to hear about de-dollarization. You're also not going to hear about Klaus Schwab. And that's what, you know, and Dave, you talk about Klaus Schwab. You bring up these topics. And this guy, Yuval Noah Harari, okay? I want everyone to assume that I've lost my mind and I've had too much DayQuil. Okay, so go to YouTube and look up Yuval Noah Harari TED Talks. So during a TED Talk, which is, by the way, one of the most – I'm going to pull this up real quick on YouTube. I'm going to look this up real quick so that I can speak accurately. Right now, TED Talks has on YouTube, they have a total of 23.4 million subscribers, TED Talks. And Yuval Noah Harari sold 45 million copies of his books. And I want people to listen to what he just said during his TED Talk. Listen to this, folks.
But I think part of what is going on maybe a deeper level of the human mind is that people sense, a lot of people sense that they are being left behind and left out of the story, even if their material conditions are still relatively good. In the 20th century, what was common to all the stories, the liberal, the fascist, the communist, is that the big heroes of the story were the common people. Not necessarily all people, but if you lived, say, I don't know, in the Soviet Union in the 1930s, life was very grim. But when you looked at the propaganda posters on the walls that depicted the glorious future, you were there. You looked at the posters which showed steel workers and farmers in heroic poses. And it was obvious that this is the future. Now, when people look at the posters on the walls or listen to TED Talks, they hear a lot of, you know, these big ideas and big words about machine learning and genetic engineering and blockchain and globalization, and they are not there. They are no longer part of the story of the future. And I think that if I, again, this is an hypothesis, if I try to understand and to connect to the deep resentment of people in many places around the world, part of what might be going there is people realize, and they are correct in thinking that the future doesn't need me. You have all these smart people in California and in New York and in Beijing, and they are planning this amazing future with artificial intelligence and bioengineering and global connectivity and whatnot, and they don't need me. So maybe if they are nice, they will throw some crumbs my way, like universal basic income.
Okay, he's openly stating that the future doesn't need most people, and that if they're nice, they're going to throw us universal basic income. And if it wasn't for X22 and programs like yours, these conversations wouldn't be, these characters, these nefarious people, Klaus Schwab, Yuval Noah Harari, they wouldn't be discussed. And so what I would just encourage everybody to think about today is, what did he just say? I mean, think about it. Maybe go rewind it and listen to it again. This guy is talking about getting us to a place where we have to accept universal basic income. And the only way that we would want to accept universal basic income is if there wasn't a way to provide for our families. So back to what General Flynn said, as far as the Build Back Better, they have to destroy the value of the U.S. dollar. So that way, you and I and the listeners out there, we would want universal basic income. So I just want people to understand this idea. They're going to blend the border by bringing in people from all different countries so that we no longer have a clear understanding of who is an American and who is not an American. Then they want to destroy our health by putting RNA modifying nanotechnology in our bodies. And they want to destroy our wealth by destroying our currency. So that's what's happening right now. And again, Dave, I mean, if it wasn't for programs like yours, I don't think the average person would even know these things are happening, because you don't hear about them at all on Fox or Newsmax or ABC or NBC or CBS.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And let me jump on one other thing too, sure, Dave, because Clay's hitting on a really important point, and he said this earlier, and this is for your audience. you know, this just recently came out in Canada, and, you know, it's about independent media. And actually, their Trudeau's case, he's actually putting a monetary value on it. So if you, I think it's $10 million, if your company, you know, makes, if you, you know, you as an independent, fiercely independent voice, if you don't make this much money, you are going to be at risk, because, you know, the way that they're trying to do it is they're trying to kill these small market voices that are out there. That's going on in Canada. So, you know, when you look at the globalists, what are the globalists trying to do? Well, they're right on our border right now in the south, just, you know, shoving it, you know where. And then on the north, we've got basically a Marxist communist in charge. And he's only got like 30 something percent of the popularity right now in that state and that nation, because of the way the provinces, provinces hold on to power. So a lot of this, to me, are ways that they test the waters. Mm-hmm. So fiercely, fiercely independent voices like yours, Dave, and your show X22, and others that are out there, we're the sort of part of that defensive line in this information war that we are involved in, this war of narratives, this war for the mind, right? This war to try to get people to understand, as Clay is highlighting with this guy Harari, because I still go to, you know, I still go out and I talk to a lot of different people, and small groups, big groups, and, you know, and not everybody in the audience raises their hand when you say, how many of you heard the name Harari, right?
Right.
More and more people raise their hands over the last couple of years, but 2 years ago, you mentioned his name, you don't even hear about him. You mention his name to, like, intellectuals. You know, when I say intellectuals, like people who are generally conservative, and they still consider themselves patriots. You know, they probably read the Wall Street Journal. You know, maybe they read the sports section to see who won, whatever, you know. But when you mention that, you know, these names like Harari, they're like, I don't have any idea who you're talking about. And you're going, okay, wait a second. You should be one of the most switched on, because you have the ability and the resources to have lots of information, you know, provided to you or that you have access to. Yet it's people down at the grassroots level that are really paying attention, because, like somebody said to me the other day, they were saying, well, I don't do that politics. And I cut them off at the knees, Dave, because mm-hmm. I said the price of a loaf of bread has to do with politics. Everything in our life right now in this country, and always has, but now it's even more magnified. Everything in our lives has to do with politics. You know, like I just said, as a metaphor, the price of a loaf of bread has to do with politics. The cost of a gallon of gas, all of these things have to do with politics. And for the better part of a half a century, we have developed a culture of apathy and a culture of laziness. And people will go, ah, Flynn's full of it. No, I'm not. Where we always say those people in Washington or those people in Tallahassee or whatever state capital you got, you know, they're corrupt. Those politicians, they're all corrupt. And yet we keep voting them back in, or we don't go and vote. Right. And I could spend a show with you on percentages of people that are registered to vote that never vote. And it's terrible. That's apathetic. That's laziness. And so here we are, right? We have a political class that our founders never wanted to have, who've made their livelihood on basically stealing and using and abusing taxpayer, hard-earned taxpayer dollars, you know? And, you know, and the latest, you know, Senator Feinstein, you know, may she rest in peace. You know, I've been reading about her yesterday, how many millions she's worth. She's been mm-hmm. in a U.S. senator, and she's been in politics as a mayor, I think of San Francisco, or a mayor out in California. Then she got into being the, you know, a U.S. senator for, like, I don't know, almost half a century she's been in politics. Yet she's worth over $100 million. I mean, I just don't know. And people go, well, her husband's an investor. And you say to yourself, wait a second, I don't buy it. And so the people that we have allowed in our political system, and people can go, well, you know, we have selections and not elections, because we keep saying those people are corrupt. Yet they keep going back, and people go back to their little world, and they go, well, you know, maybe they won't bother me. Well, now we're all bothered. We're all bothered, yeah, because we're about to lose our country if we don't get more people to stand up and understand what is happening, and then figure out how do you, with your God-given talent and skill, how do you fight back? How do you stand up? How do you speak up? How do you get involved in a local community? If nothing else, you know, what do you do, right? Pray. I mean, I tell people that go, well, I don't know what to do. How about, you know how to pray? Yeah, I know how to pray. Well, then say some prayers. Say some prayers for our country. Say some prayers for guys like Clay Clark, for guys like Mike Flynn, for guys like you, Dave, who are standing up and trying to get the message out about the kinds of, you know, craziness that we're going through right now in our country. Because we are. This is a very, very historically consequential time. It is, it's meaningful. I feel blessed that I'm alive. I'm glad I am. I don't know where I'll end up, but you know, in terms of the here and now on earth, but I do know that I understand exactly what is happening because I've seen it happen in history, world history throughout the millennium of history. And I've seen it happen, certainly in my lifetime in other continents on the planet. In my very privileged days of serving in our armed forces, and where we've been responsible for it, or we have defended against it, and now it's happening right here, you know, inside of the contiguous borders of our own country, the United States of America.
I see what they're doing is kind of backfiring on them, because look at the people in New York. The people in New York are now pushing back, saying we can't have all these people in the city. Even the governor is saying it. And it seems like people are starting to wake up and they're starting to realize, you know, when Trump said we needed a wall, I'm starting to see that we do need a wall and we need a secure border. And I'm starting to have conversations with people that I was never able to have conversations with. And I'm not talking about Democrats. I'm just talking about Republican family members, friends, where they wouldn't even talk to me about certain things. Now they're starting to ask a lot of questions about what's going on. And I see things starting to change. And what I find very, very interesting is the governor of New York and others like in Massachusetts and in Chicago, they keep saying we can't take on all these people. We don't have the money. But the one thing I never, ever hear them say, close the border. I never hear them say that. They just say we can't afford these things. We can't afford having all these people. But I never hear them take the next step to say we need to secure the border. And I'm wondering how long it's going to take for them to actually, or maybe never, maybe they'll never say it, but I find it very interesting that they're just talking about money, but not shutting down the border. We have to go to the source of the problem, and nobody's ever even mentioning it.
Well, you know, Clay mentioned the economy, and I'll get off the dime here a second, Clay. Clay mentioned this earlier about our economy and that, you know, how they're changing the de-dollarization. I mean, that's what they're going to do. They'll just keep printing more money, and they'll ask for more money. They're going to put bonds on the election ballot in New York. They're going to demand more money, and they're going to win it. They're going to get the money that they want, and they're just going to put, they're going to spend it. They're going to drop it into their own pockets, and they're going to spend it on their own things. This has nothing that they will never, you're never going to hear them take the narrative of, man, we better build the wall. They'll never, yeah. The left will never pick that narrative up. Sorry,
Dave. Dave, who is your gold and silver sponsor?
Noble Gold.
Okay. I just encourage everybody. I've had three calls to action for everybody out there. One, Dave, you've obviously vetted your gold and silver sponsor. I listen to your show often, Dave, and I always encourage everybody, you gotta, if you were thinking about getting out of fiat currency, if you were thinking about getting out of fiat currency, I would highly recommend you schedule a consultation, Dave, with your gold and silver sponsor of choice or someone, because this is a real thing. De-dollarization is happening. And so I just want people to understand this idea. And this is not hyperbole. Every day, the value of your wealth, if you're listening to today's show, is going down by 1% a day. It's going down by 0.1% per day. So every day, your net worth is going down by 0.1%. So think about this. If you thought about investing in gold for 10 days, your net worth went down by 1%. The value of your dollar went down by 1%. If you thought about it for 30 days, the value of your dollar has gone down by 3%. The annual inflation rate used to be 3% a year. It's 3% a month. So if you're thinking about scheduling a consultation with a precious metals company, I would do that right away. Second call to action. is I would join the Reawaken America tour. We're going to be taking the event to Miami, Florida, October 13th and 14th. And then we're going to Tulare, California in December, which is just outside of Fresno. And President Trump's entire inner circle is now on the tour. So you have Peter Navarro, the author of The Trump Economy, essentially, the deregulation. You have Alina Haba, President Trump's chief, we'll call it legal spokesperson. She's going to be there. Kash Patel, General Flynn, Mike Lindell. And this is serious stuff. I mean, Peter Navarro just got convicted, you know, of two. He basically refused to give up his executive privilege. OK, so this is Peter Navarro. He'll be on the tour. Alina Haba, Mike Lindell. These are people who are actually in Trump's orbit every day. And if you want to hear from people that actually know what's going on, who speak to President Trump on a daily basis, I do not speak to President Trump on a daily basis, but the people on the tour do. So if you want to hear from these people directly, I would encourage you get those tickets at timetofreeamerica.com. And we let people name their price. So if you're listening out there today, you can pay whatever price you want to pay. So if you're in a tight spot, I grew up poor, I get it. So if you're in a spot where you can't afford a lot of money, that's okay. You can just name your price, pay whatever price you want to pay. Whatever price you want to pay, you can bring your wife, bring your kids. Get those tickets at timetofreeamerica.com. And again, schedule a consultation with the Precious Metals Company. And the third is I would pray until your head explodes, whatever that means for you, because we need to be praying for this country nonstop. And I can't tell you, Dave, how appreciative I am for you and people like you that are unapologetically sharing the truth. And you've been, you know, kicked off of YouTube since, I think you said, 2014.
For a little while.
Yeah. So I mean, you've been censored since 2014. So again, my calls to action is one, schedule a consultation with a Precious Metals Company right away. And Dave, again, you've vetted people. You don't promote anybody on your show unless you vetted them. Schedule a consultation with the Precious Metals Company. Two, get those tickets at timetofreeamerica.com. Again, you can name your price. We're going to Miami, Florida here, October 13th and 14th, and then Tulare, California in December. And then third is just pray until your head explodes. And you'll know that your head exploded if your head does explode. So just keep praying for our country nonstop, because we really do need prayer to save this country, Dave.
Great. Thank you for all that. And I'll put the link at the bottom of the video so people can go right over. And I really appreciate that and everything that you're doing. General Flynn, any last words? And if people want to follow your work, where should they go?
Well, then go to generalflynn.com. I'm going to shamelessly plug session one, you know, and session two, which is about fifth generation warfare and artificial intelligence. Generalflynn.com. And, you know, the main thing there, if you bundle them, we give a really good discount. I just had Boone Cutler, my co-author here today, having a conversation about a third session where we're thinking about writing a book on political warfare. And a lot of it has the things that we do. So I just finished, Dave, by just saying thank you so much for your fierce independence. Don't take this episode and put it on YouTube, because if you do, they will censor you again. I guarantee it. And to your audience, go to timetofreeamerica.com and join us on this Reawaken America movement in October 13th and 14th in Miami, Florida at the Trump Doral, and then in Tulare, California on 15, 16 December. It's a movement, folks, and we are going to continue with this movement to waken up the masses of people that love this country. So God bless you, Dave. Thank you very much for allowing us a little bit of time today.
No, thank you very much. I'll put all the links at the bottom of the video. Clay, General Flynn, thank you very much for being on the spotlight. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.